This is a second recording of the first part of the class of June 2nd, 2014, which did not record properly on that day. And so I am continuing on page 64, reading selection number 4, starting from the the fourth verse, which begins, Arati virati papa majja pana cha sanyamo upamado cha dhammesu etang mangalamuttamang. So here the word arati means seizing or stopping. Virati means refraining from or abstaining from. And they both go with the word papa. Papa is an ablative singular from the noun papa, meaning evil. So arati virati papa means stopping and abstaining from evil. Then we have majjapana cha sanyamo. Now majjapana is also an ablative, which means intoxicating drink. And it's in the ablative, so it means from intoxicating drink. And it goes with sanyamo, which means refraining from, restraint from. And so majjapana cha sanyamo means refraining from intoxicating drink. Then upamado, we know, means heedfulness. And that goes with dhammesu. Dhammesu is a locative plural. So the word dhamma can have many shades of meaning. Here it's implied that it's wholesome qualities or wholesome practices. So this is heedfulness in wholesome practices. Then etang mangalamuttamang, this is the blessing that is foremost, most excellent. So putting it all together, stopping and refraining from evil, restraint from intoxicating drink, heedfulness in wholesome qualities, this is the highest blessing. The next verse, Garavo cha nivato cha santuti cha katanyuta kalena dhammasavanang etang mangalamuttamang. And here there's one spelling correction, or typographical correction. The word katanyuta, in the katapot, there should be only one T. Okay, garavo means reverence. It comes from the word actually guru, which means heavy. And this is related to the Sanskrit word guru, which comes to mean the spiritual master. And so the person who is heavy within one's heart in the sense of regarded with respect and reverence is the spiritual teacher, the guru. And then treating people with reverence, this is garavo. The word nivato literally means the absence of wind, but it takes on the meaning of humility. So these two qualities go together, reverence and humility. In the next line, we have santuti, which means contentment, and then katanyuta, which means gratitude or thankfulness. The word katanyuta actually derives from the past participle kata, meaning that which has been done, plus the suffix new, which is based on the verb jana, or the root nya, to know, and the verb janati, one who knows. So katanyuta is knowing what has been done. In other words, acknowledging the good deeds that have been done for oneself. And so here we have contentment and gratitude. The next line, kalena dhammasavinang. Kalena is originally an instrumental, which means by time, but it takes on an idiomatic meaning with the sense of at the proper time or timely. And this goes with dhammasavanang. This is a compound which connects dhamma in the sense of the teaching with savana, listening to or hearing. So this is hearing the dhamma at the proper time or from time to time. This is the highest blessing. So putting it all together, we have reverence and humility, contentment and gratitude, hearing the Dhamma at the proper time. This is the highest blessing. Okay, the next verse we have Kanti chaso vachasata samananan cha dasanang kalena dhamma sakaccha etang mangalamuttamang. The word kanti means patience, and normally it's written with a ending in a short I, but because this is verse, in order to make it fit into the meter, that final I is elongated. So we have the word kanti, meaning patience. Then the word sovachasata is based on an adjective, suvacha. Suvacha comes from the stem of the word is vacha, which means speech or word, plus the prefix su, which means good or well. But suvacha doesn't mean a good speaker or good words, but it takes on the meaning of being easy to speak to, that is, being easy to correct, being amenable to advice from others. And so vachasata, this is an abstract noun based on that adjective. So vachasata means the quality of being easy to speak to, or we could say being amenable to advice, or you could even render it as obedience. Though it's not obedience in the sense that you have to obey the commands that others give you, but it means being willing to accept advice, suggestions, criticism from others. Then we come to samanananca dasanang, and here we should break this up into samananang, which is the genitive plural of the noun samana, which means an ascetic or renunciant. In the Buddha's context, that means the Buddhist monastics. And then it's joined with the conjunctive cha, meaning and. And what happens, samananang, normally it would end with the nigahita, that is the ng sound, the M with a dot under it. But when that ng sound meets the cha, then the ung turns into the N with the wiggle on top. That's called the palatal nasal sound, because this makes it easier to pronounce in a flow, a continuous flow. So it becomes samananancha, then the noun dasanang means seeing. So this is not referring to the insight of ascetics, but rather the seeing of ascetics, seeing monastic persons. Because when lay people get to see the renunciants, the monastics, it gives them joy, tranquility, and should inspire their faith and devotion to the Dhamma. The third line, Kalena Dhamma Sakaccha, we've already had Kalena, timely, at the proper time. And here, instead of Dhamma Sevenang, we have Dhamma Sakaccha. Sakaccha means discussion. So this is timely discussion of the Dhamma. And then it said, Etang Mangalam Uttamang, this is the highest blessing. So putting it all together, we have patience and being easy to correct, the seeing of ascetics or monastics, and timely discussion of the Dhamma. This is the highest blessing. Okay, now we can go to the further readings. This is on page 73. And so, first we'll read the text. We have, Chahi Bhikkave Dhammehi Samanagato. Bhikkhu Ahuneo Hoti. Pahuneo Dakineo. Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasa. Okay, so analyzing this, first, Bhikkhave is the vocative. Here the Buddha is directly addressing the monks. So Bhikkhave is, O monks. Then we have Chahi Dhammehi. Chahi is the instrumental of the number cha, meaning six, and of course it's plural. So it means with six. And chahi goes with dhammehi, which here means qualities. Again, this is instrumental plural. And both of the, and this numerical term is joined with samanagato, which means possessing, or to keep it with the instrumental, endowed with. So endowed with six qualities. Then the subject in the nominative is bhikkhu. And notice samanagato is nominative singular, and so it is qualifying bhikkhu, the monk, and then all of the other terms that follow are describing the monk. So a monk endowed with six qualities. Then we have ahuneo hoti. Ahuneo means worthy of gifts. And notice that this is something characteristic of Sutta-style Pali, when there is a series of terms describing a subject, the first term, the first adjective, usually will come before the word hoti, meaning is. And then the other adjectives or descriptive terms will come after the hoti. But they are all parallel descriptive terms describing the subject. So in this case, ahuneo means worthy of gifts, and this eo ending indicates that this is a future passive participle, or it's also called the optative participle, which then takes on an adjective function. So it's describing the monk as one who should be given gifts. Pahuneo is usually rendered worthy of hospitality. And be careful, I remember when I was in Sri Lanka, a Sri Lankan monk was studying Pali and trying to translate it into English. And so he rendered pahuneo as worthy of hospitalization. But the English word hospitality doesn't mean that one should be sent to the hospital, but it means that one should be treated well, treated with politeness and respect. Dakineo is quite similar in meaning to ahuneo. Dakineo, we could say, means worthy of offerings. Anjali karaneo. Anjali is the respectful gesture of putting the palms together in front of the chest or in front of the forehead. It's what they call in Japanese gassho, or in Chinese hejiang. And so this is, and karaneo means should be done. So this means it takes on the meaning of worthy of reverential salutation. And then the final three words all go together. Anuttarang punyaketang lokasa. So the subject here is punyaketang, which is a compound of punya, meaning merit, and ketang is field. And so a person, a worthy person, is considered a field of merit because when one makes gifts to that person and treats that person with respect and reverence, then one generates merit, which will lead to happiness in the future. And so the monk is considered punyaketang, a field of merit, and a monk who has these six qualities is anuttarang punyaketang, that is, a supreme field of merit, an unsurpassed field of merit, lokasa, which is a dative meaning for the world. So putting this all together, a monk endowed with six qualities is worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of reverential salutation, an unsurpassed field of merit for the world. Okay, then comes the question, kattamehi chahi. And note that the question is put in the instrumental plural, with which six? In English, we would phrase the question, what are the six? But in Pali, they use the case and number should follow the term that has to be enumerated. So since chahi dammehi is an instrumental plural, the question is phrased by way of an instrumental plural, with what six? Then comes the Buddha's answer, ida bhikkhave bhikkhu, chakuna rupang disva neva sumino hoti na dumino upekakovi harati sato sampajano. Okay, so the statement begins with ida, which means here, or in this case. And then bhikkhave is the vocative, O monks. Then comes the description of the monk. So a monk, bhikkhu is the subject, the nominative subject. Then he's described as chakuna rupang disva. So this is a compound or a clause that's based on the gerund or absolute of disva, having seen. Then rupang is the object of seeing, a form. So having seen a form, and then chakuna is the instrumental singular of chaku, with the eye, and it really means with both eyes, not with one eye. But since both eyes exercise the same function, so it's phrased as a singular. So having seen a form with the eye, the monk, neva sumino hoti. Neva is the negation, na plus eva. And when we have a series of negations, the eva just indicates that the first na is going to begin a series of negations, two or more negations. And so na goes with sumino. The word sumino is an adjective based on mano, which means mind. And su is the positive prefix, meaning good, or in this case, it's related to sukha, happy. So sumino means joyful. So the monk is not joyful or elated. Then na dumino. Dumino is also an adjective based on mano, but it's prefixed by dur, which gives the negative sense of bad, or in this case, dukkha, painful. So dumino would be sorrowful or sad. So the monk is neither joyful nor sorrowful, neither glad nor sad, but upekako viharati, he dwells. Upekako is an adjective based on upeka, equanimity. So he dwells equanimous, or more naturally we can say he dwells in equanimity. And then sato is the adjective based on sati, mindfulness. So sato is mindful. And sampajano means clearly comprehending. It's from sampajanya, clear comprehension. And sampajano, you could see the stem of it is jhana, which is related to jhanati, one knows. And it has two prefixes, sam and pa, which maybe give the sense of fullness and clarity. So we render this as clearly comprehending. So putting it all together, we can say, here, O monks, a monk, having seen a form with the eye, is neither glad nor sad, but he dwells in equanimity, mindful and clearly comprehending. Okay, the next statements are simply repeating this basic structure, but just changing the sense modality. So we have sotena sadang sutva, having heard a sound with the ear, ganena gandang gaidva, having smelled an odor with the nose, jivhaya rasang saidva, having tasted a flavor with the tongue, kayena potabang pusitva, having touched a tactile object with the body. And then comes the last one. Again, it would begin with ida bhikkhave bhikkhu, manasa dhammang vinyaya, neva sumano hoti nadumano, upekako viharati, sato sampajano. So hear, O monks, a monk. Then we have the gerund, vinyaya, having known or having cognized. And then dhamma in this context means a mental object, a thought, an idea, a concept, an evaluation, and so on. Having cognized a mental object, then manasa here, this one has to be careful. Manasa is an instrumental singular of a special class of words that has been absorbed into Pali from Vedic Sanskrit. And this class of words ends with A-S. We don't get this type of word very often in the nominative, but we find many formations in the instrumental or in the genitive. So manasa means with the mind. I think later in the book we'll come to this class of nouns. So having known a mental object with the mind, the monk is neither glad nor sad, but dwells in equanimity, mindful and clearly comprehending. Then comes the concluding statement, which is mirrors the opening statement, except whereas the opening statement is expressed as a generality endowed with six qualities, the concluding statement involves a specification or a determination, that is, endowed with these six qualities, a monk is worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of reverential salutation, an unsurpassed field of merit for the world. And I should just point out that whereas the words ahuneo, pahuneo, and so on, those are nominative masculine singular because they are adjectives qualifying bhikkhu, but punyaketang is a noun in its own right, and the word ketang is a neuter noun. So that is why punyaketang doesn't become masculine singular, but rather it remains as a neuter singular. Even though it's describing the monk, but it is punyaketang is a noun which is describing the monk, not an adjective. So the monk is an unsurpassed field of merit for the world. Okay, so this concludes the first part of a treatment of Lesson 5. Now we can take a break and you can go to the second part, which has been already recorded.